We're going to continue tonight looking at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. We've looked at the third, or we look rather at the third tonight of the four pictures that we have in this psalm. These are wonderful descriptions. They're so rich. They describe what every single human being is like before we come to God. Before we come to Christ, the only Savior. We've looked at the first two. The first one described us as making a journey through life. And the problem is we go astray. We go off track. We lose our way. And in that journey of life, until we come to that time and call out to God in prayer, we're lost. We have no God. We have no hope. And then we call out to God and he hears us. The second, it described us as those who are in chains, in prison. We're trapped. We're locked into a spiral of sin. And again, until we come to an end of ourself and call out to God, we'll carry on without the freedom, the abundant life that Jesus Christ has offered to all who come. The fourth, and we'll look at this on another occasion, is about a journey on the sea. And we're travelling in a boat, tossed in a storm of life. We may have a storm tonight. And that's the picture that we'll come to on another occasion. Well, verse 17. Let's go straight tonight. I hope to be brief, given it's a very warm evening. Verse 17. Here's the picture. It's very short. And my subject is this, healed by God's word. The picture is of us as fools. That's a rude word, isn't it? If I was to call you personally tonight, I don't do that to anybody. But if I was to call you, you fool, you would think that I was being rude. But this is God's word. And it calls all of us fools. It's in the plural. It says we are fools. Literally, the word here describes us as being foolish. This is descriptive of our whole life, how we approach life. Here is God. He's made the littlest child tonight in this room. He's made the oldest person. And he knows you far more than you know yourself. And he says in this verse, you are foolish until you come to me, until you seek my wisdom. Are you going to live life without God, without the wisdom of God's word, without Christ, who is the truth, the way, and the life? The Old Testament uses this word fools very many times. There are two psalms that have an almost identical verse. The fool has said in his heart, no God. It's even more emphatic. There isn't the there is. It's just the fool has said in his heart, no God. And you know, that is the way that many people want to live their life. As though there's no God, no judge, no creator, no law. No right way, each living as though there's no king, no law, a law unto themselves, foolish. That's what the Hebrew word in Psalm 107 means, to be foolish. I want you to turn to a couple of verses tonight. Maybe that will be helpful. Psalm 38, and there is an even more graphic verse, verse 5. Psalm 38 and verse 5. I think I have the wrong reference. Let me read to you it. It says this, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. That's King David speaking. He says, my wounds, my life, it's like an open sore. And they stink. My life creates an unattractive aroma to those around me. People look and they see my life like gaping wounds, oozing, and it's a horrible stench. It means that our life is decaying. Corrupt, that means dying. A corruption that's eating in. David says those words. He says, my life causes that stench. And he puts the reason why at the end. He says, because of my foolishness. We have a temptation, don't we? To point the finger at others, to blame. To say it was my parents' fault. It was his fault, her fault. My husband, my wife. And David says, no, it was my fault. It was my foolish ways. Fools, because of their transgression. So David describes his own life as being a fool in Psalm 38. Here in 107, it just says fools. That's the start. There's a chain reaction. You see, you live your life without reference to God. You're described by God's word as being foolish. You don't know what's right and wrong. And because of that, verse 17, Psalm 107 says, we fall into transgression. There are four big words for sin in the Bible. There's two of them mentioned here. Transgression, to step over the line, to go across. There's a boundary. Don't go over, out of bounds. And the fool says, I don't care. I'll do what I like, thank you. I will step over God's boundaries for a safe life, for a blessed life, for a life that he intended. Fools, because of their transgression. That's what we do, we step over the line. There's a second word here. It's iniquity. It's an old-fashioned word. It means twisted. A life that's not straight and straightforward, but twisted. Would you want to live a life that's twisted, cankered, distorted? Fools, because of their transgression and because of their twisted life. Oh, what a sad way to live. But look at the end of the verse. This might come as a shock, and I'll explain what I mean. Because I'm foolish, the domino falls, and it leads to transgression and iniquity. And because of that, I'm sick. Now, be very careful. I'm not for one minute suggesting that every sickness is the result of sin. But you have to look at your own life and say, very often what we've done, the choices we've made, they lead to some level of affliction in life. Just by illustration, I remember a friend in London. He worked in accident and emergency, and very often he was working at the weekend at King's Hospital. He said to me once, 80% of the people that come in on a Friday, Saturday evening, they've self-inflicted. They've drunk too much. They've been violent. They've lost their temper. Their choice, their foolishness has led to affliction. We are fools. And you know, some of our sin leads to sickness. I'm not saying that everybody that has cancer or other diseases, it's because of their sin. Don't misunderstand me. But we have to be honest in life. Sometimes we bring an awful lot on ourselves. The fool, because of our choices, it leads to sin. It leads to a life that's displeasing to God. And you know, in God's mercy, we find that there's a bitter taste. We find that sometimes we are afflicted. We feel low, despondent. maybe depressed. We brought it on ourselves because we're not living as God would want us to live. We've not read his word. We've not listened to him. I'm not saying that all sickness is because of sin. But the verse here says there's a chain reaction, and some of our affliction and sorrow and sadness in life is self-inflicted. Sin, sick, fools. That's really what this verse is about. Sin, sick, fools. Look at verse 18. This is spiritual, you see. Their soul, it's not just talking about the body. It's talking about our choices, what we love, what priorities we have. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat. This isn't about food. The word meat means anything that's good. Everything that's good and anything that's good comes from God. And everything that's good is given to us by God. Their soul hates all that is good. Here's a man, he's getting sicker and sicker. He's made bad choices. He's drawing near to death, it says here in verse 18, drawing near to the gates of death. You see, the choices they've taken is wasting the life. The life is getting very limited, almost emaciated. And there is something good to eat, something good for the soul, and we refuse it. God gives us his word, which is good. He offers us abundant life, which is good. He says, I'll have a relationship with you, which is what we need. And the soul says, I hate that. Why do I need God? Why do I want to eat spiritual food? Why do I need the bread of heaven? Why do I need something sweet like honey, says the word of God? And as a result, verse 18, the spiral down started with foolishness, then transgression and iniquity and affliction, and the soul refuses what's good, and it draws near to the gates of death. Sometimes those of us who are believers in Christ tonight, if you've ever tried to speak to somebody on their sickbed, where they draw near to the end of their physical life. I remember a man once in a hospital. He wasn't the patient I was visiting. I was visiting the person next door. And this person had hours to live. And I was asked to talk to them. I tried to talk to them about the only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. I said to the man, do you know you are very close to the end of your life? You draw near, in these words, to the gates of death. You will go through it, so to speak. Don't tell me about that. I don't want to hear about that. My life I've rejected and I'm not going to change now. That's what that verse is about. The soul saying no to all that's good, to meat. In those days you would eat vegetables, but you'd look forward to eating meat. God's word is like meat to us. Sin, sick souls in a downward spiral to death. But look here at verse 19. This is a repetition. You see, there's a formula in this psalm. Verse 6, verse 13, verse 19. Here's the turning point. Here's the crisis. Here's the crossroads. The first person was lost and they knew it, and they cried out to God. The second picture was in prison, in the dungeon, and they realized they were in distress. Verse 6, verse 13 speaks about distress. Verse 19, distress. Have you called out to God? Have you ever really prayed? Have you ever gone on your knees and told God what you've done? And told him that your soul is at the point of death. There's no life in it. Up until now, you've rejected God. You've rejected that which is good, his law, his ways, his word, the life that he offers. And you've said no. Well, here's the turning point. Will God hear me? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. This is speaking of the children of Israel who were in that wilderness. They cried unto God, and he saveth them. They couldn't save themselves. They couldn't do anything to rescue themselves. They were so sick. They were drawing near to death. But they could call out just a sentence, just a cry unto God, Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, crying out to God, praying, calling. This is responding to his call. His word calls us. The Holy Spirit calls us. Sometimes circumstances call us. And we're taken to our knees. It's a sad fact, isn't it? We tend to pray more when we're in trouble than when our lives are full of happiness. But you know, in a way, that's a mercy of God, that when we find ourselves in trouble, and if we do cry out to God, he will save us. But never presume. If you've rejected God up until now, don't presume that you've got another day and another year. They cried out to the Lord, and he saved them. Let's look at verse 20. This is a wonderful verse. This is a verse that needs to be underlined. How did this happen? The chain reaction started with foolishness and sin. And the soul hated God and all that was good. And they drew near to death. Their life became not worth living. And then in their heart, they started to feel their need of God. And they called out. What did he do? He sent his word. Do you know that's the amazing way that God deals with us? He comes with one word. That's all it needs. The word of God is so powerful, it's described as a single word. I'll show you how. It's a message. Sometimes in a single word. Repent. Believe. Come. That's all the Lord needs to say. And to some people, that was all they needed to hear. Just one word from heaven. Let me turn you to a few verses to prove that this is what God's word says. Just patiently turn to Matthew chapter 8 and to verse 3. I hope I have the right reference. Matthew 8 and verse 3. This is Matthew's version of what we read in Mark 1. This is the Lord Jesus. And all of his healing miracles are a picture of what we've been looking at in Psalm 107. This is what Matthew says. Matthew 8, verse 3. Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him. He was a leper, this man, saying, I will. Be thou clean. You say, where's the one word there? Well, if you look at the Greek, there is just one word that's translated as be thou clean. It's the word that we get cathartic. It means to be cleansed throughout. Be thou clean. That's all Christ said. One word to a leper. And his life was at the point of death, because that's what happened with leprosy. And one word from Christ was sufficient. But notice it says in the verse, the man needed to be willing. God never forces religion or his son or Christianity upon anybody. We need to be willing. I will, be thou clean. There's the whole gospel in just a few words. Look down to verse 16. Stay in the same chapter. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, very common in those days. And he cast out the spirits with his word. One word. Get out. One word in the Greek. And healed all that were sick. This time he doesn't just heal one man of leprosy. He heals a whole group of people with one word. What power the Lord Jesus had. I'll just give you one more example. Luke chapter 7 and verse 7. The final verse that we'll turn to. Luke chapter 7 and verse 7. This is the centurion, a very powerful man, but a man that had a big heart and he had great faith. Luke chapter 7 and verse 7. The man, the centurion, the Roman centurion, had one of his servants. Normally centurions didn't care much for people under them, but this man did. And this centurion's servant was very sick. He goes to the Lord Jesus, and this is what he says. Verse 7, wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy. What a wonderful way to come to Christ. I don't deserve forgiveness. I've been foolish. I've transgressed. I've lived a twisted life. And I've caused myself affliction. I've caused myself distress. And the centurion says, but say in a word, just one word, and my servant shall be healed. Isn't that lovely? One word from Christ. One word. Have you heard the one word from Christ for your life? One word, come. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, there's a domino down, and there's an upward domino effect as well. Christ says the one word, and we come. We put our trust in him. We turn from our sin. We turn from our wicked ways, and he heals us. He restores us. Go back to Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word, just one word, and healed them. That's what we need, spiritual healing from our disease of sin. Notice the two words beginning with D. He delivered them. But there's a different word here. From their destructions. I'm foolish. I make bad choices. I keep the wrong company. I go to the wrong places. I make the wrong choices in life. And I'm causing self-harm. Self-destruction. But the Lord comes with his word and he says, don't go that way anymore. Come to me. This is my way. Walk therein. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. There was many of them. We didn't just do one thing to ourselves. Some people have a problem with greed. They indulge in too many pleasures, too many times on the computer, too many hours for self, self-destructing, not being connected to other people. Self-destruction, and God says, stop that way. Don't live your life that way anymore. Come unto me. Let's finish with verse 21 tonight. This is a repetition again. It's like a chorus in the psalm. There's the verses, the four pictures, and in between, the psalmist has a lament. He cries out. You can picture it almost in a loud voice. Oh, that men and women would praise the Lord for his goodness. The soul that's lost, the prisoner that's chained, the sin-sick soul. And God sends his word into our life. Just a word. And the psalmist says, why? Why won't people listen? Listen to the God of heaven. Listen to the one who wrote this wonderful word that explains everything in life and everything about life after death. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. What for? His goodness. The meat. Everything we need in life is supplied in Jesus Christ. And for his wonderful works, we think of creation. We think of him sending his servants, prophets, apostles. But we think supremely of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven come down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live the perfect life that I've not lived and to die in my place instead of me being punished. He said, I will go. I will be a substitute. I will willingly take the wrath of God upon my own soul for all the people that will put their trust in him. No wonder the psalmist says, oh, that men and women would praise the Lord for his goodness to the children of men. And verse 22, and let them come with sacrifices. The sacrifices of thanksgiving. This is about the heart. It's not about meat and idols. It's about the heart. Thanking God for Jesus Christ. Is he your Savior? Have you ever prayed to God, I'm thankful that I have a personal Savior, one who died for me, one who will rescue me from my distresses and from my self-inflicted, foolish destructions. Some of us press the self-destruct button every day, living a life away from God. And the Lord pleads in this final verse, oh, that men would praise God. Have you praised him? Have you thanked him for the Savior? Is he your Savior? May the Lord come with his word tonight. He sent his word to heal, to deliver us from our destructions. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, gracious God, we read these words and we feel the kindness of God. We read the mercy of God for undeserving sinners. None of us come tonight with any merit of our own, but we come as the centurion, unworthy, and we say again tonight, just speak the word, a word directly into the soul of those here tonight that sit in darkness, of those who are sin sick, and heal us, we pray. Cleanse us and wash us. Make us right with God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.